This is TWiT.
Everything that I learned about Internet of Things security and smart home security, I learned, of course, from Stacey Higginbotham, who does Stacey on IoT and is a regular host on This Week in Google. And she's here to answer all of our questions. Thanks so much for coming on, Stacey.
Hi, Stacey.
Hi, glad to be here. And I'm not sure I'm going to get to all of your questions.
Okay.
There's a lot.
I do have a lot. But you break it down. Like there's three elements of security that you need. The IoT hardware itself needs to be secure. The apps need to be secure. And the information that goes from the apps to the device in the cloud, that has to be secure. So tell us a little bit about more about that concept.
Okay. Sure. You did a great job. I might want to say there's four things, or there's three places and then the transport between all of them. So there's a lot of things on the physical security of the device. And so this can be anything from, like, there used to be a smart home camera that you could actually just stick a safety pin up in the camera and reset it. And if you did that, it would erase the recordings. It would just de-link it from someone's account. And if you imagine using that as a security camera, well, that's not as useful, right? So that's like physical security that you need to think about, just the device itself. Then there's the software, and that's things like, you know, does it share passwords? Does it require two-factor authentication? Like basic software security things. And then in the cloud, there's things like, hey, are you storing people's passwords in plain text? Oh, you shouldn't do that. Have you secured all of your, you know, or Amazon Web Services instances, those kind of things. And then there's the security of things going back and forth. So that's device to your, perhaps, router and then up to the cloud, or it could be device to the phone to the cloud. All of that should be encrypted. And then finally, you should probably have corporate policies to think about what data you need to collect and why. So maybe you don't grab everybody's Wi-Fi password because you don't really need it. So that's kind of the big thing.
Stacey, I think one of the things that I have trouble with is giving people the right kind of advice, because a lot of people out there, you know, they're not as tech savvy as maybe the rest of us, and maybe tinkering around with the router and all that sorts of stuff might be a little over their head. So, you know, I'm thinking, do you have to be a network engineer to keep this stuff secure? Is it really, can it be just as easy as like making sure that your passwords aren't the default, you know, making sure that you have two different Wi-Fi networks, one for your smart stuff and one for the regular stuff that you do in your home?
Okay, wow, that was like really easy, and then some next level crazy stuff there. So yes, the first thing you should do for everybody who wants to have more security in their IoT gadgets is to change your passwords on your devices. And actually, I take that back. The very first thing you should do is get a password manager, or to get a little notebook and write everything down. Yeah. Because you're going to have, like, I have like, I don't know, 50 some odd apps on my phone, and I can't remember all those passwords. So that's your first step. And then I would say change your router password. It's not so hard. And if you're like, oh, that's so scary, just buy a new router. Buy some of the newer routers are very user-friendly. They have, you know, they'll force you to change your password. They also have guest networks automatically set up for you. And they're going to auto-update when, like, vulnerabilities are found in Wi-Fi. So if you're serious about setting up a home, like a smart home, start with a good router. And this could be any of the modern, like Orbi from Netgear, Eero. There's so many. There's a lot.
I know Linksys too has like a really like major mesh network that's supposed to be like the best.
Yes.
Yeah.
And with that, make sure, like, when your kids' friends come over, put them on a guest network.
Yeah.
Or your sketchy roommate, or in my case, my sketchy brother, when he comes over, he gets the guest network.
Yeah, and don't give your Wi-Fi to your neighbors. That's like another thing, by the way, that I keep hearing. Like, oh yeah, I give my Wi-Fi password to my neighbors. Mm-hmm. Like, why?
So what about this guest network, running your devices on a guest network? We had someone email us, because last week we showed all of our devices, and, you know, I just threw IoT willy-nilly across my house. And, you know, this viewer said, I just want a Ring video doorbell. Ring's our sponsor. I don't want anything else. Can I effectively just run that on the guest network? Have you ever tried to do that?
I have. And the doorbell is actually a really prime example of where you can run into problems with that. So the challenge with a guest network in running everything on it is you're going to get some latency when your phones, because a lot of these things talk to your phones, are on another network. So in the case of the Ring doorbell, it's going to be on your guest network. That signal when the doorbell rings isn't going to go direct over the Wi-Fi network. It's actually going to go up to the cloud and then back over down to the Wi-Fi network, or down to LTE, down to the Wi-Fi network. So there's going to introduce some latency. You'll see this becoming an issue if you do a lot of geofencing. Mm-hmm. I set it up for like 3 weeks, and I felt it. I hated it. It did not work for me, but it is inherently more secure, and that's, you know, security. It's a trade-off. So if you're willing to make that trade-off, set it up that way and see.
So what about, I know another rule that you have is all your devices have to get automatic firmware updates over the air. How do you know if your device does that? Like, how do you know if you're getting them?
There are definitely more convenient ways to do this. Like, a lot of them will tell you they do their updates at like 2 a.m, or they will give you the option of when to schedule them. So I always take that. But you really just kind of have to hope. So as a reporter, when a big vulnerability comes out, I will actually call all of the major vendors and I'm like, hey, have you updated it yet? And then I go look for that. And that gets to the kind of other piece of advice I give people, which is buy from reputable brands. Yeah. I know it sucks to pay 10 extra or 20 extra for something, but you at least know that they've got the personnel behind the scenes to actually do the updates. And if they don't do the updates, then just no. But those are also the people that reporters and stuff are going to check up on, too. We're not going to check up on random no-name brand from China to make sure they're doing their updates.